you're at the door. You're about to enter a world of heavy lifting, power lifting, strongman, and everything in between. Think you're ready for this? Let's see, tough guy. It's time for the RX Power Hour with your hosts, Nathan Payton and Ryan Bracewell. This is the RX Power Hour.
Welcome to the RX Power Hour on RXMuscle.com with your hosts, Nathan Payton and Ryan Bracewell. Tonight, I'm actually joined by my esteemed co-host, Ryan Bracewell, via his remote location in his secret bunker up in the hills.
Yeah, something like that. It's kind of an odd deal. I'm more stressed for tonight's show than I have been on any other show, but also at the same time, I'm more comfortable. I had to get called away from work because I had some issues with my wife's pregnancy. Nothing, you know, to worry about at this point. But, you know, you have little things go wrong and you never know what's happening. So thankfully everything is kind of back on track and everything's good. So I'm sitting at the house, which is why it might sound different tonight because I'm on my cell phone. But the nice part about it is I'm, you know, sitting at my dining room table with boxer shorts on and my new 3XL RX Muscle shirt. It's my house shoe. It's all good, you know. A little give and take tonight, I guess.
You're like the Hugh Hefner of strongman.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. I can might even fiddle with it a little bit while I'm sitting here.
Excellent. Well, speaking of tasty things to eat, you were at the pancake bonanza, if you will, where I believe you threw down with the pancake challenge, which Dave kept affectionately referring to as Ye Old Pancake House there in Dallas.
Even though it's called Old South Pancake House, but, you know, whatever. He liked that name better, so he kept sticking with it.
So, yeah, you know, I can't blame him. Kind of added that Southern flair via France.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Amanda and I drove up that day. We got there, you know, an hour before, give or take, went to our hotel, and then went over to the pancake place. And, man, these things were big. I mean, they look big in the pictures, but the biggest problem with them, this is, you know, it's been said on the boards many times, is all the butter they put on them. We actually asked for no butter on several. Two of the people asked wanted no butter. And they don't do that because they always make it a certain way, or they didn't get our request, one or the other, but all of them came out with butter. And that was the worst part of the whole deal is, of course, you're eating a lot of food, but it was that, I don't even know how to describe it, but it was so much butter. Imagine with every bite of your pancakes, you literally have a sliver of thick butter in your mouth. You know, it wasn't just that little bit of coating that's nice and texturized. It was like thick, gooey butter on every bite.
So, excellent.
I finished three whole pancakes out of the eight, and they're roughly a pound a piece, to give you an idea. They're not some wimpy, you know, little hand-sized pancakes. I mean, literally, you couldn't pick these up without two hands. So, I mean, they were pretty good size, and they were thick. So, but one guy, he goes by Past Genetics on the board, he ate five total. And what was funny is him and Jack, I don't know, Titoni, I think is his last name, they both ate about the same, around five. And neither of them, when I talked to them the next day around the same time, you know, 7 o'clock when the Bros versus Pros ended, neither of them had shit yet. So I'm kind of glad I did not go that far because I was perfectly fine the next morning.
Yeah, that would have made for an interesting tire flip contest the next day, that's for sure.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking.
I actually watched the live feed of that. You know, I was kind of kicking back, texting you while you were actually eating during the contest. And it was interesting because, you know, Jack definitely believes in his product because I was in disbelief as I saw the man every single bite. You know, he was going like that, you know, the hot dog eating champion guy, you know, where they dip it in the water to try to soften it up.
Yeah.
Every bite, boy, he was dipping it right in his hydrolyzed ultra water.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the product's good. I mean, it tastes like water to me. I mean, I guess that's kind of the point. Right. Whether it truly works or not, I guess it's yet to be seen as far as on my end. I've only drank two bottles or something of it, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a newer deal. I don't know enough about chemistry to be able to say whether I think it really works or not. I know the idea is that it's, you know, alkalinized water, so, you know, it's supposed to help balance the pH levels in your body a little bit better. But I don't know enough about the human body and science, the chemistry part of it, to say whether anything like that actually would work or not. But he's a hell of a nice guy, so one either way, it's, you know, good dude.
It was fun too, as I was watching that, you know, Dave kept ribbing kind of all you guys as you were going down, and you were the first out of the gate, basically, I think, was scarfing down a whole pancake. So you were briefly in the lead there, running off with things. And it was funny because I noticed that the longer it went on, Dave's watching all these people sit around with these pancakes, which just the smell alone, you know, of all those pancakes in the room, I would think would almost get nauseating after a while, especially, you know, if they come out hot and there's all that butter that you mentioned. I just think that's nauseous. Yeah. Well, but I kept hearing Dave mention, "Where's my burrito? Where's my burrito?" So, yeah. So apparently he had a burrito on order while you guys were waiting for the pancakes.
Yeah. Well, this is to tell you how much butter they actually put on it. And this is why I stopped. I mean, it got to the point where I literally, every time I thought about eating, the thought of the butter came into my mind and made me want to vomit. But when they make them, they make the full stack. They put it on the plate like you'd normally see a pancake stack. And they had this big clump of butter. I mean, it's basically like an ice cream scoop of butter. And they put it on the top of the pancakes, and then they put a plate on top of that. Basically, it's kind of to keep the heat in, I guess you would say. So it looks like a hamburger of pancakes and plates. Mm. And what happens, there's so much butter in the oil, it literally eats away at the middle of the pancake. So the butter was like a damn elevator just soaking into the pancakes and dissolving the center portion of all the pancakes. So even once I scraped it off the plate and everything, it was still just soaked into all the ones on the top. So I don't know, whatever. I don't care. It was fun, and I was glad I didn't choose to just keep eating to keep eating. Once I realized I was a whole pancake behind, I said, fuck it, I'm done.
Well, that's the spirit of competition, Ryan. What's up with that?
I had more important things to do.
Right. And speaking of that, you know, in the tire flip, I know that at the end, basically it came down to where you kind of went ahead and you went one way with the challenge and you let everybody else go another way. So how did that occur, basically, to where, you know, as opposed to it being one tire that was flipped, you actually, you know, took the same time limit challenge, but you basically gave everybody else half the tire, so to speak.
Well, I mean, what happened was originally it was supposed to be a 600-pound tire that everyone would use, you know, winner take all. Well, we got to Metroflex, and they had some good tires and good weights, but it was a little off as far as what we needed. They didn't have the one we needed. They had the one that I used, which was, I looked up online, brand new is about 740. So you figure once tire tread wears off, stuff like that, maybe 700 pounds, give or take. And then they had a couple others that were really heavy, like big, big ones, like probably one that was 1,000 pounds that had been sitting in the dirt for a year, you know, so not going to use that. And then they had like these two smaller ones, which one was the one that we ended up using, and it was roughly, you know, 350, maybe 400 pounds. I mean, literally, I'm pretty sure my pregnant wife could have flipped it. It wasn't very heavy.
Right.
And, We didn't want to use the small one because me and the other RX people were discussing. It's like, it's kind of pointless to do the small one because nobody gives a shit if I win doing a small tire or who wins at that point. It's like, if you're using a tire that literally everyone can flip, no one's going to watch the video. No one cares. But then everyone basically that was even thinking about doing the tire flip backed out or chickened out or whatever you want to call it and didn't want to do it with the 700-pound tire. Mm-hmm. So it was either they keep the 700-pound tire and I basically automatically win, which is not very much of a show and, you know, whatever, or we all do the small tire, which again is not very much of a show. So I just said, fuck it, you know, and I talked to the people at RX and we just kind of came up with this solution and went from there. And, you know, I almost got myself in trouble because we started doing it and I figured there'd be a couple fast times, but people were moving the small tire pretty quick. You know, before I was going, I saw, I think the fastest time was 28 seconds. I'm going, shit, I moved a 800-pound tire like in 30 seconds at Nationals 2 years ago. I was like, I haven't done a tire since then for 60 seconds. I may be in trouble for 60 feet.
You stacked the deck, but in the wrong direction.
Well, I mean, I knew it would be a challenge regardless, but I got a little worried towards the end. We started talking about maybe handicapping the times a little bit, you know, but it all worked out, you know, because, you know, I got up there and I don't know how I was able to flip it the speed that I was. I mean, and I'm not trying to brag or anything like that, but it was literally almost 10 seconds faster than I'd ever flipped a tire for that distance, you know, we're not talking about like little bitty tires, but like a normal 600 plus pound tire.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess just the overall weight training that I've been doing over the past 2 years, is working, because without even really practicing the tire flip, I've, you know, hit a PR by 8, 10 seconds.
Yeah, and I definitely watched the contest as well, and you absolutely flew with that. And I thought the same thing, you know, once I understood what the parameters were going to be with the rules, because I believe it was Eddie Moisen, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. I think he was the last one to go, and he was right before. And he was so fast with his tire. I mean, his problem was that he couldn't almost control it. Like, he would flip it, and the thing would fly and bounce almost every single way. He just kind of ended up having to kind of shoulder tackle the thing forward every time, you know, because of his strength as well. And I think he was the 28-second guy. So, there was a couple of guys right there at the end that flew.
He actually got 30 seconds for two reasons. One, like you're saying, every time he would flip it, he was putting so much force into it that it literally, the tire would wobble. So obviously you almost have to wait for it to settle down a little bit before you can grab it, which costs, you know, a tenth of a second, a half a second every rep. And then on top of that, he had two occasions where the tire, honestly, if he would have won, I would have protested anyways, because he had two spots. If you watch, you had to watch it live because the video's not up yet, but as of Monday. But there were two occasions where the tire actually rolled towards the line rather than being flipped, because, you know, it was such a small tire and he was a strong guy that it would flip, and then it kind of almost flipped back up on its top and rolled, you know what I mean? So it was kind of an issue, but the guy who got 28 seconds literally flipped the tire perfectly, you know, and I think one of the reasons people couldn't do the same speed or go any faster is because the tire was so small. If they put any more force in it, they'd have the trouble like Eddie did.
Right.
And the tire is so short, which that means you have to flip it more times. So even though it's a light tire, it still might take you 2 seconds to flip it. You know, even if you're a strong guy, even if I'm flipping it, it still might take 2 to 3 seconds to flip the tire. And if it's a tire that's 2 feet smaller in diameter than the one I used, that means you have to flip the tire probably 2 more times. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, it kind of worked against them in the same way that it actually helped them, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes perfect sense. And with that, you know, that was, I believe, basically the last event of the day. You know, you had the bench challenge, and then you had the, I think, kind of the impromptu was thrown in there over the last, you know, week or so there with the curl off with the 135s. And now you were gonna kind of jump in the bench, but then I think you changed your mind. Kind of what was the decision on that?
Well, basically, you know, going up there, I was like, you know, we'll see what happens. The morning of, we weren't sure how many people were going to turn out because, you know, it was Easter weekend. We're in Texas. You never know what's going to go on. So I kind of mentioned that I would do it if we needed to.
Gotcha.
If they needed someone, but then I really just decided it had nothing to do with my bench. I mean, I knew going up there, if I did it, I wasn't going to win. So it wasn't an issue of backing out because I thought I might not win or anything like that.
I was curious.
Really.
Yeah. Because you've been nursing, you know, little injuries here and there that are kind of related that pop up during your benching. That's why when I found out that you'd kind of thrown your hat in that to a degree, I was like, ooh, you know, I wonder if that's the best decision, especially if you're going to follow it with a tire.
No, I mean, it really had nothing to do with an injury. It was really no other decision than the fact that I just decided, you know, I came here to do the tire, and that's all I really care to do. I'm not, you know, I don't really care to do bench press, you know, and I know I saw on another site that I just kind of browse around every once in a while. Some guys were like, oh, Bracewell's being a pussy, he backed out. And I'm like, whatever. You know, I really don't care. but I find it funny that no one said shit about Siders not doing the tire because he didn't come there to do the tire. He's a pro strongman, has done twice as much as I have in the pro ranks, but he came right here to do the bench press, and that's what he did, you know?
Right. So, well, speaking of Brian, he definitely had a strong performance with the bench.
Oh, yeah. Man, I mean, I knew he was going to have an easy day with that 315, but I also figured he'd have some challengers, you know, with Al Davis and
right.
The Eddie Moisen guy. I mean, he was strong, but the problem with guys this time, just like last time, is we had a strict judge, and some of these guys weren't doing full reps. Eddie had problems right. doing full reps with his reverse grip bench, mm-hmm. And Al Davis had the same issue, and the problem is he had his headphones on, you know, playing music, so he couldn't hear the judge saying, you know, make sure to lock him out, make sure to lock him out, and he kept doing the same thing. I didn't count how many reps either of them did as far as even the ones that did not count, so I don't know if they would have beaten Siders regardless, but it would have been close.
Right. Well, speaking of close, kind of the same thing happened with the curl-off. I believe it was a one-point difference between Eddie and Andy. And Andy was just cruising along, Andy Hammond there towards the end. I mean, he was just coming up one after another, and he got to the one right before Eddie, and just down it went. So I don't know if, you know, fatigue suddenly set in or what. But
funny enough, that was a hamstring issue, you know, because the whole contest was basically a cheek curl contest. And if you watch the video, you know, he's definitely swinging his body and everything, which is totally loud in this particular one. And I don't know if it was a small tear or just a cramp or what, but it was actually a hamstring issue is why he stopped.
Interesting. Yeah, because it was real sudden. I mean, he was hauling. Because, I mean, you know, you can tell when somebody's having to suddenly start arching way back or, you know, do whatever when it comes to trying to sling the thing up. And he was just, you know, cruising right along. You could tell he was nearing the end, but he wasn't at it. And just all of a sudden, boop, he was done. So...
Yep. Yeah. It was a good contest. I mean, the interesting thing for sure was whether Al Davis, for me, was whether Al Davis could have actually won if he had won on the bench press, if he had chosen not to do a full workout the morning of the contest. Because that's, you know, something that most people aren't going to know if
bizarre.
They weren't there, is that he did a full bench press workout before doing the Bros vs. Pros challenge. So that was, you know, I heard that and I'm like, what the hell is he thinking? It's like, I understand, you know, you don't want to throw off your routine, but there was a shit ton more money up for grabs than what I went up there for, you know, and he could have walked home with $2,000 for driving to the gym that he normally trains at on a Saturday and winning a contest.
Interesting. Yeah, because I think at the end, I think the final tally, you know, however... You know, and they were kind of going back and forth as far as what reps counted and didn't as far as on Al's side. But I think in the end, I think it still boiled down to, what, 5 or 6 reps difference, I believe. And, yeah, you're right. You kind of can't help but wonder, like, you know, without a morning workout, you know, is that the 5 or 6 reps? But hard telling.
Yeah. Well, and especially given that he actually uses his chest to bench press. You know, he doesn't
yes,
do
yeah,
anything.
There's no belly pitch.
He doesn't have an arched back with a lot of leg. You know, involved or total body even, he's doing a true, you know, almost like a bodybuilder style bench press with very little arc and everything, and so I don't know, you know, it's interesting, but I guess we'll never know.
I gotta ask, because I'm sure it's gonna come up, I know everybody out there listening is wondering, what was the groupie scene like for all you guys in there ready to bench? Was it just
there was
some Dallas
hotties? No, there was no groupie scene. Basically, it was, you know, friends and family of the people competing, and then basically Metroflex, you know, people. That
right.
was primarily it, and I think part of that was, you know, again, just because of the Easter weekend. It was, you know, it's a little disappointing because I'm worried that they may not want to come back to Texas for one of these contests because we didn't have much of a turnout, but... I think they're getting a lot of views online with the videos, which is probably where you get the most out of it anyways.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, you got to look at any event. It doesn't matter if, you know, something's packed. If, you know, if it holds 1,000 people, that's certainly a great success. But at the same time, 1,000 compared to, you know, the worldwide internet is a drop in the bucket. You know, if you can get 10,000 views of something, well, you're already way ahead. So.
Yeah, yeah. And I wanted to go ahead and thank, you know, we've talked about it before. I wanted to thank At Large Nutrition for the box of goodies, and also House of Pain, Anabolic Clothing, and there's a few other other goodies in there. I haven't had a chance to go through my bags. I've been preoccupied with my wife and everything, but At Large provided the winner, which, of course, was going to be me, a whole box of supplements. Essentially, it looks like one of everything that they make. Nice. Not every flavor, obviously, but like one of each product that they make. So, you know, I'll definitely be trying their products out. I've been wanting to test out some of their stuff for a while. You know, being that I own a supplement store, I like to try out different companies. So I wanted to thank them again for being involved and also supplying the check that I'll be getting in the mail.
Excellent. Now, you know that we've got to ask, too, you know, that RX also has the resident curl master, you know, Jeff, the producer. You know, you can't help but wonder if Jeff was in the curl contest, you know, because I've seen him curl 100-pound dumbbells. So if Jeff's out there with a 135-pound barbell, I got to say he's going 50, 60. So maybe Jeff wasn't allowed. Maybe Jeff would have been a ringer. But you got to figure, you know, the way he can curl 100-pound dumbbells, that 135 pounds and he gets to use two arms, you know, I don't know.
I think it all depends. If you look at the guys who were doing really well, it was the guys that were cheating. So it depends on what his cheat curl looks like. So if he has good form on cheat curls, I think he's good to go, because it really boiled down to total body strength, I think, more than bicep strength, whereas dumbbells, you almost have to have more bicep strength. So,
right.
You know.
Very good.
I also wanted to, you know, before we head to our break, you know, I wanted to kind of tell everybody what we're going to be doing with our first guest. We're going to have Mike Johnston on, who has been on a couple times already. And essentially what we're going to do is recap everything that's gone on with ASC since the last time we talked to him, and also cover all the upcoming things as far as future shows, America's Strongest Man, all that stuff, and talk about their involvement with their new involvement with RX Muscle, and, you know, let him cover some of those things to give the details, because, you know, we don't know everything about it yet, but I'm sure he'll be willing to give us a little of that information for all of our listeners.
Excellent. We also need to get Mike to actually open up a little bit and talk about himself and his own powerlifting accomplishments, if you will, both in strongman and powerlifting. I don't think people understand just how successful and how strong he actually is in his own right, and from a powerlifting standpoint. So there's definitely more to the man. You know, he's just quiet.
Yeah, he's quiet about some things, but then he's very loud about other things.
Right. He picks his spots.
Yeah, so maybe we can get him to open up a little bit more on some subjects he hasn't covered yet. But, you know, why don't we hit our break, and when we come back, we'll have Mike Johnston. This is Ryan Bracewell and Nathan Payton with RX Power Hour on RXMuscle.com.
Healthy chocolate is revolutionizing the way people think about chocolate. Using a patented chocolate-based delivery system combined with a proprietary herbal formula to give you 10 times the auric value of other well-known antioxidants.
Auric? What's an auric?
That's oxygen radical absorbance capacity.
Is that injectable or oral?
Just know that it's good.
I get
healthy chocolate from UltraFit360.com is comprised of 70% premium cocoa, is sugar-free, and...
Sugar-free? Will this stuff make me crap my pants during ass-to-grass squats? Because if so...
Excuse me, no, if I may.
Good.
Healthy chocolate uses no artificial sweeteners. The ingredients in healthy chocolate have been clinically shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels and...
Oh. Okay, when combined with GH, Slin, IGF-1, and various other peptides to conquer...
While we didn't intend to cause a revolution in the way the world thinks of chocolate, we nonetheless at UltraFit360.com welcome the dialogue that healthy chocolate has opened. Healthy chocolate. Fitness has never tasted so good. Visit UltraFit360.com today. Hydrolyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydrolyze Ultra water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydrolyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydrolyze Ultra today. Visit HydrolyzeUltra.com. That's HydrolyzeUltra.com. P12 28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 bread. RX Muscle approved. Shaker Pro has designed the most innovative shaker in the fitness and bodybuilding world. Shaker Pro is the only shaker where the powder and liquid are stored separately and mixed together at the exact moment you desire. Mixing occurs in the closed Shaker Pro system. That means no more mess, just a perfect shake guaranteed. Preparation takes place anytime, anywhere, in the car, at work, or in the locker room. No need to transport separate ingredients with you. The Shaker Pro is an all-in-one solution for everyone with an active lifestyle. The patented Shaker Pro chamber system guarantees that the mixing and blending of the ingredients will always produce a perfect shake every time. Simply twist, shake, and enjoy. Find out more about the Shaker Pro at 4sportlife.com. That's the number 4sportlife.com. This is the RX Power Hour.
Welcome back to the RX Power Hour on RXMuscle.com with your hosts Nathan Payton and Ryan Bracewell. I'm very pleased to be joined at this time by our special guest for the evening, ASC VP Mike Johnston and physical therapist to the stars.
Wow, the stars.
Yep.
You mean Ryan Bracewell. If you mean Bracewell, I guess that's right.
There you go.
There we go.
And Bracewell,
you don't need anybody else.
No, that's it. I mean, he's like a supernova. He gets more free medical advice than anybody I know.
Yeah, I do get a lot of free medical advice, but that's only because you love me.
That's true. I do love you. I do, very much so. Nathan, man, Nathan, last couple times I talked to you guys, you know, we didn't know each other very well, but, you know, now we're in communication all the time now that I am doing one of your famous individually prepared dietary programs. So
there you go.
I don't think the love feeling that I have for Ryan is quite there for you yet, as I think I'm going to turn it to one giant piece of broccoli. But it's getting pretty close.
How is the diet going? You know, don't hold back because of Nathan on being on the line.
Oh, I won't. You know, actually, I think Nathan's tricking me because I'm actually enjoying the food that I'm eating. And, like, I had this big cheat day, you know, yesterday. Like, it was a whole day of cheating. And, like, I ate, you know, it was Easter, so I had some honey-baked ham and some scalloped potatoes and stuff. But I would honestly think that side-by-side, I probably had less calories yesterday than I would on a regular diet day. And other than that, we found out, interestingly enough, that I have probably lactose intolerance. You know, I was drinking to keep weight on. I was putting away 3 gallons of milk a week. And then my very first cheat day that I had while I was on a diet, because I have no dairy on my particular plan, my very first cheat day, I was craving chocolate milk. So I guzzled, like, you know, pretty, you know, quart. You know, a family-sized thing of chocolate milk, not just like one glass, and I got a terrible, terrible stomach ache. I really didn't put it together that it was the milk. Well, my next cheat day, same thing. I was craving chocolate milk, and I just got like a regular, you know, normal person-sized jug of chocolate milk and drank that. Same deal, terrible pain. I called Nathan, and the next day he said, "Go have a cheat meal, don't drink milk." Sure enough, without the milk, no problem with the cheat meal. You know, I was thinking maybe it was the odd food or something, but it was the milk all along. So that was pretty cool to find out that.
Yeah, the interesting thing with those food intolerances is that a lot of times people have them, and especially sports guys. You know, the everyday Joe, it's a lot of things just don't necessarily aren't as readily noticed. But with the sports guys, you know, when you're talking performance and things like that, and when guys have always eaten a certain way, and there's certainly no better example than strongman or powerlifting or, you know, NFL football to a degree, you know, with the way guys do need to consume, you know, at least a certain amount of calories, And so many foods are very common in that, like you said, like the milks and things like that. But you can drink that all the time, like you said, 3 gallons a week and never notice an issue. But the issue manifests itself in different ways. And like I told you, with a lot of times those food intolerances, as opposed to the blatant thing, like with the stomach pains, you know, it can manifest itself in a lot of joint pain, things along those lines, kind of aches and pains that you wouldn't necessarily associate with foods. You know, a lot of people see that with wheat or corn, stuff like that. But, you know, the same way with dairy, you know, and basically it's because your body's having an inflammation response to the foods that you eat. However, it's targeting the area in your body that already kind of has an issue. And of course, with strongmen or powerlifting or football guys, you know, what's going to be the easiest thing to target that gets the most use and abuse? Joints. So it all kind of goes together like that. But until you do, basically what I did on you is it would be a form of an elimination diet, you know, because going into this, you know, you had been telling me about how you were having more aches and pains and how dairy was your big thing and you always drank a lot of it. So in stealth mode, that's the reason why you didn't have dairy on your particular plan, is I was a little curious to see what would happen when we took it away, you know, via an elimination type of diet and then reintroduced it. Because if it is something that you're intolerant to, and you haven't had it for a week or two, your body will absolutely throw a fit, for lack of a better term, but it won't manifest itself in those typical symptoms, like I said, with the joints or things like that. It'll actually show itself where, you know, it doesn't like it and it's most unhappy, which there was your stomach. It couldn't digest it.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty terrible. It was an uncomfortable feeling. So you did that on purpose.
Yeah.
So you are going to be at some of the contests this year. I'm going to find you.
Yeah, he's going to make you drink his Clamato.
Hey, that's good. Clamato is very good for you, by the way. What could be better than beer, tomato, and clam juice?
That's right. True.
Hey, so other than, you know, getting bloated from milk, how is your overall strength and physique? And no, I'm not trying to create some ad for Nathan. I'm kind of curious because I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks.
You know, and truthfully, and you've known me for a long time, and I have a history of dropping weight and gaining weight and dropping weight. You know, as far as when I was doing strongman, cutting down to 231 pounds, I probably got to be one of the best at it because my passion for lifting was really in powerlifting, so I would always lift super, super heavy and get up to 260 pounds. And boy, I could put on a bloat belly like nobody's business. And then when I would cut out all that extra food, I would cut the weight in my stomach and really fast. Well, what I have found, I guess, is that the way that I'm eating now, I've actually gained weight. I started doing this at 244, and I'm like 249 I was this morning. You know, that's totally stripped, totally naked for anybody on Radio Land that wants to get a visual. But I've gained weight and my strength is fine. What's really changed, I guess, is my endurance. Now, you know, in Ohio, I don't think the sun is out quite yet at all. You know, it's halfway through spring and the sun still hasn't come out. You know, so I haven't been out getting a lot of, you know, increased cardio or conditioning. You know, we've been stuck inside the gym, inside Lexan Extreme all winter. But my tolerance, now that we're getting out and doing, you know, more stuff with Chuck, dragging, you know, we're doing some prowler work and dragging the chains, but hooked onto this power pole deal and all that, my conditioning's fine. You know, when we do volume work, I have no problem keeping up from a conditioning standpoint. You know, so I would say that was different coming off of, like I say, being pretty much static lifting for the past 6 months. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy about that.
Excellent. Now, with that too, I believe that you and I have also conversed. You know, I don't know how stealth mode you get, so to speak, when it comes to your lifts in the gym, but you've obviously, Ryan and I were actually talking before you came on, that it's funny that every time we've had you on, you know, we definitely go through the physical therapist type of stuff, you know, but you're kind of on the shy side, at least when we've had you on, as far as we haven't necessarily tapped into, I mean, the size of the lifts that you do. And of course, you're a retired pro strongman, but you also, you know, have done some massive lifts and massive squats, which is actually, you know, something that you're going for here pretty soon in the next couple of months. You know, there's a particular mark that you're looking for with your total. But kind of what are your recent lifts at, basically, to kind of give the listeners an idea of what we're talking about?
Well, I've been doing a bad job of keeping up a training log and kind of talking about how my eating's going and dieting and stuff on nastrongman.com on the NAS site. You know, but I'm getting, I have a goal. You know, this day and age, it's not a tremendous total as a 242, and that's just because I'm not a bench presser. I've had, you know, a couple shoulder surgeries, and I'm just, you know, I'm not going to be an 800-pound bench presser. I just can't get the shirt to work that way. But I think that, you know, my training now, you know, I trained for years with Donnie Thompson, but I've always, all that time, I kind of split my time between powerlifting and strongman. So now I'm more focused on powerlifting than I ever have. I mean, I make my 4 days a week. I don't miss any workouts and stuff. So I think the numbers that I want to get from a standpoint of the squat and the deadlift, those things are going to come along. You know, but we did like 2 inches high the other day, a couple weeks back, and I think I was around 1030. I've never had 1030 on my back of this was straight bar weight. I've probably had something close to that on my back with band tension and that kind of thing. And then this weekend, we took out with these, they have these, and this is the first place I've ever seen them. Everybody's trained with chains on the bar where the chains kind of hang, the 5/8, I think they're 5/8 inch link chains hang from the smaller chain, and then the big links are kind of on the ground. They never leave the ground. Well, in Lexington, they have these chains that are bigger, not quite as big, Ryan, as the ones that we drag in Strongman, but they're similar to that, and they actually hang on the bar and they swing freely. So it's just like putting on a plate. Each chain is 55 pounds, but it's a plate that swings back and forth, so we do this stability work, you know, and from a very low pick, because we also, I'm trying to classify this type of training that Chuck does, and what I've come up with so far is if it's difficult and if it's hard and it would drive most people from the gym, then it's good for you. So that's I think that's his theory of lifting, but it was like a super low pick. So say on the rack, I'm a 13 on a monolift on a particular rack. So that means I set the jack at pin number 13, and that's where I stand up, you know, just enough to clear it where I'm upright, I'm ready to squat. Well, they set it 3 pin holes lower, so I come out of a 10. So it's probably like a half squat, or you know, at least I'm a third of the way into my squat, and I got to stand up with 1,005 with swinging chains back and forth. And I did that this weekend. Yeah, and that was just horrible. And then you got to stand there for 15 seconds, and just so you got to come out of that deep position, keep your head and chest up, and then get into your position like you're about to take the squat. You know, when you hang out there for like 15 seconds while they're counting and you're holding and holding and holding, that was pretty tough. I've never quite done anything like that before. I mean, it's kind of like taking a yoke, but taking a super low pick off the yoke, you know, where you were picking it up, you know, where the yoke was probably 6 or 7 inches off the ground.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's like a chain yoke or camber bar or something like that.
Yeah. Before I had a yoke, what we did was we took a camber bar and we hung chains from it with weight swinging, and that was our yoke, you know, our mock yoke when the thing is swaying all over the place and bouncing you. But I don't remember ever having a 1,000-pound chain yoke going, but...
yeah, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, it has something to do with, you know, disarticulating your spine. But I guess the training is, I'm finding the areas that are problematic, and we're going after them, you know, flexibility, getting down deep in the hole, being comfortable below parallel, you know, not curling my back over at the top of the lift, making sure that I arch up under the bar and take the bar out with my hips. And those are all things that I've heard throughout my powerlifting career consistently. You got to do this, you got to do that. I mean, none of this is new to me as far as Donnie saying it, or, you know, Spud, Mark Bartley saying these things, you know, get your head up, that kind of stuff. But now it's really taking root and taking hold because I'm lifting the powerlifting 4 days a week. So that's really I guess, made a big advantage, or it's been a big advantage to me. And so I feel way more comfortable to go ahead and to take out and try bigger weights, I guess.
Now, do you really feel that all these, I guess you want to call them just odd lifts, we'll just call them that you do with Chuck and things like that, are really that necessary? Like, do you think it's really what makes him what he is, or do you think he lifts what he lifts because he's crazy?
I think he's crazy. I honestly couldn't tell you. You know, but I'll be honest with you. Like, the last meet that he did, we were there, it was during the Arnold weekend. You know, Danny had a thing. Danny Degg, the owner of Lexan Extreme, he had a meet out away from the Arnold, because the Arnold got that USAPL stuff, and, you know, they tried to get more of a kind of back to the WPL kind of a feel, and, you know, the USAPL guys, they don't want to hear anything like that. You know, they're clapping for a 300-pound deadlift and stuff. So, you know, Danny did his thing. He had Russians over there, and, I mean, it was packed. He had a packed house. He had 500 people watching this thing. But Chuck completely, and I don't mean, like, did a squat and, you know, got called on depth or, you know, was a little out of position. He tanked his first two lifts. I mean, as a matter of fact, his last warm-up was horrible. But his first two lifts on the platform were terrible. I mean, just terrible. He fell back with the weight. His feet were all out of position. He comes back on his third attempt and crushes 1180. I mean, sets a world record. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a certain amount of insanity, but he does all this stuff. I mean, he invented that power pole thing. That thing's just angry. But it puts you in a position where, from a deadlifting standpoint, you got to get one of these things, Ryan. You're going to be pulling 900. It puts weight way out in front of you. I mean, it's just from a physics standpoint, just from a mechanical standpoint, it takes the weight and puts it way out in front of you. So you don't have to have as much weight on the bar. So you got this harness thing, and it was featured in the last, not this month's Muscle and Fitness, but the one before.
Well, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
See that pole thing? Well, you got that thing on you, and then you're reaching down to a 2-pin or a 3-pin. So you can't get in bad position. You can't even get in bad position reaching for the bar and then reset, because you'll fall over on your face. So you've got to keep your erectors just completely tight. You've got to keep your shoulder blades back. You get down to that bar, and then right where the bar would glide up your legs and you'd be able to pop your hips through, you've got to give this huge extra thrust because you've got that weight way out in front of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that probably would actually help me, because that's where I have the hardest time. Like, as far as getting a legit pull is at the top end. Usually I can, you know, I've gotten 880 off the ground as quick as I get 800 off the ground. But once you get to, you know, the bottom of the knees, it just dies on me, you know.
I'm telling you, that thing would help you. Like, when you talk about crazy, we're sitting there, me and this kid on Tuesday, and this is just a Tuesday mornings. This is like sort of, you know, your auxiliary day, and you're kind of going after those areas that are specific to what you need to do. Me and this fella, one of the kids I live with, Nate, we're just sitting there, and Chuck is kind of sitting away from us, but there's only the three of us in the gym. And he's sitting over there, and he's just kind of like giggling and laughing to himself. And then he gets up and he goes, "We're going to try this. I don't know if it's going to work." We're like, "Okay." So we do a belt squat. You know the belt squat machine?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Where the belt's around you and the wire's coming through the floor and the weight stack's behind you so you can kind of go heavy without having the axial load of the bar. We do the belt squat with the power pole on. Dude, my hamstrings, like, I was trying to lock out, and like my hamstrings were locked up and seizing up so bad. And then, like, the next day, I couldn't bend over and pick up a pencil. My ass was killing me. And the weight wasn't heavy. It wasn't heavy. We did volume work. But it went to that spot that was, you know, just, and it was just the mechanics of the thing. It put the weight out in front of you. You had to rip your hips through. You couldn't cheat. You know, so he'll come up with things like that. And then a lot of times, too, it'll be specific. Like, a couple weeks, maybe a week or maybe three before that, he came in and he's pretty banged up some days, but he was like, you know, I can't do this, but this is something you need to do specifically because you're not flexible in the hole. You know what I mean? So I guess he kind of analyzes your squat, sort of like you do with you're doing it, Nate, with the diet, and he's analyzing the squat, and he says, you know, not the other guy, but you need to do this because this is where your problem is. I mean, so the, you know, kind of the crazy lifting stuff, you know, maybe do you need it? I don't know, but, you know, too many times, Ryan, I know you've seen this over your career, guys leave the gym early when the work's not finished. I just answered some kid, you know, I'm answering some rehab questions on RX now, ASC and RX kind of getting together with some kind of joint ventures. And I told this kid, the advice I gave him was don't leave the gym early. Don't leave until the work is done. That means you've done your squat, your pull. Now do all your accessory movements. That means you've got to do your traps. That means you've got to do your neck work. That means you've got to do your stomach work. You can't neglect those things and get up under big weight time after time after time and not get hurt. So, yes, he's crazy, and yes, all the crazy stuff is important.
Yeah, well, and you kind of briefly brought it up as far as the Q&A you now have on RX. I know that there's some things in the works between NAS, ASC, and on RX. Are you at liberty to speak on some of those things?
It's all happening. We are, you know, you guys, you were on there early on, and, you know, they're covering some of the big guys, but, you know, we had a conversation. I challenged Dave to get involved with Strongman, and we're all kind of putting our toes in the water together here and seeing, and he recognizes. Now Dave's no stranger to Strongman. Dave Palumbo, obviously, RX Muscle. He was on with Poundstone a couple Arnolds ago. I remember him and a group of guys screaming Poundstone power and all that stuff. But he also is pragmatic, so he's recognized, in my opinion, where the cream is. And that's really with ASC and NAS. It's not one shot, you know, one-time promoters or promoters that put on one show in their backyard once a year and say that they're the saving grace. It's the commitment to excellence. It's year after year. It's guys like you, Ryan, you know, Jenkins, Poundstone, Ortmeyer, all those guys were NAS members. Now they're pros. Brian Shaw, all those guys were NAS members. Hell, I saw every one of those guys earn their pro card. You know, so it's that commitment to turning out athletes that are just a step above everybody else. And, you know, with this whole thing with the Arnold Amateur World Strongman Championship and the kids that are going to be coming through that system and Dion's connections, you know, she's working with the promoters all over the world, Magnus for Magnuson, you know, the guys in Iceland, the guys in England. She's working with the folks in Russia, Katarina and all those folks, and really just building this up. So Dave recognizes that, and that commitment to making this better, to taking the sport a step above. And so we're doing some things together, and, you know, a start of it, something easy, something quick is to, you know, under your name, it says ASC Pro. Under Jenkins' name, it says ASC Pro. Under Poundstone's name, it says ASC Pro. I'm starting to do a rehab thing. We're putting together some Q&A stuff. Brian, he's kind of the strength editor, you know, sort of just giving him some information on, you know, who's the up-and-coming guy that he might want to follow, or now we've kind of had this big discussion and everything, they'll be at the America's Strongest Man to, you know, do some interviews, some post-event interviews, some commentary, that kind of thing. Certainly we'll be at the Olympia. I'm not so sure about nationals for the amateurs this year, but we'll be talking about it for 2012, doing more extensive stuff, having some exclusive footage. I think Ryan, you and I talked about making some announcements on your radio show, and then that stuff going up on the website as far as the events that are up and coming for America's Strongest Man. You know, posting athlete lists, that kind of thing. He's going to have some exclusive content too, as far as discussions with athletes and that kind of thing. You know, he already got the Q&As and that kind of thing. But Dave also was very fair. He's been working with the IFBB and the NPC for so long. He understands the importance of brand recognition, and he understands that, yes, you know, even though, you know, Brian doesn't choose necessarily, and I don't mean the editor, I mean Shaw, doesn't necessarily compete with ASC anymore, at least he hasn't in a long time, not to say that he won't again this year. He's talked about coming out to America's Strongest Man. Frankly, I think that the Olympia dates are going to conflict with World's Strongest Man, so that one's really just going to be a catch-as-catch, you know, can as who's going to be there. But, you know, he's an ASC guy, and Dave, you know, Dave Ferrumble, you know, to his credit, he's wanting to give that recognition that, you know, these folks came through a system that works. You know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because they're doing something different right now. You know, we've talked about the money before. World's Strongest Man has money. The Arnold has money. And even though we give away $55,000 in prize money this year, it's not at one show. It has to be spread out to a whole series of shows. And, you know, World's Strongest Man is worried about 10 guys. The Arnold's worried about 10 guys. You know, we got 80 of you guys to feed, Ryan.
Well, and one thing,
and
too,
it's only so big.
Yeah, well, and I know in the past, and I don't want to get on a discussion of, you know, the rants that have happened in the past, really, but
oh, yeah.
I know one thing guys have said is that, okay, well, why don't we have less shows where you can actually offer more money? But as a new pro, you know, when I was an amateur, I would compete at least four times a year, probably more, and now I find myself, as a guy who's an up-and-comer, I might get to compete twice a year. You know, maybe
you don't have
any times. You know, and that's it. And it sucks because I want to compete more, but it's like, where am I going to compete at? I'm not getting in fight. You know, I'm not at Travis's level or these other guys' level. I'm not getting invited to wherever, you know, the overseas, we'll just say that, you know, to compete in these different places. And yes, there are some other opportunities available, but they also have to fit in schedule. And, you know, sometimes that just doesn't work. And whereas if you're an amateur, there's literally a possible show every 2 months that you could go to. You know, that's a big show.
If there's a show, if you're an amateur, if you wanted to compete every weekend of the year, you could. I mean, there might be a couple weekends of the year where there's no show, but there's over 100 shows a year on the amateur level. And so you could, you know, ostensibly compete all year long if you wanted to. One of the things, to your point, that we've kind of done is, like the Georgia show. The Georgia show, we just had a good show. You know, Vincent Urbank, they talked about him on your website there. He got his pro card. He's been in the hunt for a while. You've competed against him a number of times as an amateur. You know, he finally brought it together. It was a good, solid, heavy show, but it wasn't like America's Strongest Man heavy. You know what I mean? It was more doable. It was a five-event show. It was on one day, not two. So kind of with an eye toward guys saying, you know, I could come out, you know, more often if there were shows that weren't quite as heavy, still 80%, 90%. It wasn't like a training day, but it was still a heavy show, and you had to kind of have your A game. But the guys came out, they had a good time, you know, they took good care of us, you know, even though it was the rain, and the money was good. I mean, it was really a quick way, you know, to share in a $10,000 purse, and there just weren't that many pros out there. So everybody went away with something, and, you know, and everybody was happy, and we put on a good show for the folks. You know, somebody earned their pro card. I mean, Aaron West, the lightweight, got his pro card, and, you know, he ran with a 950-pound yoke to do it as a lightweight. So, you know, I'm always impressed by the lightweights, what they're able to handle. But, you know, it makes sense that if you're going to have four shows, I mean, and I got to be honest with you, it's not, you know, not to blow sunshine up your ass, but some of the shows that you did back-to-back-to-back-to-back was during my heavy period. You did some of the heaviest shows that we've ever put together, and it's like
four or five.
And that's when my mindset was like, you know, fuck them. They're going to be pros. They need to earn it, you know? And this stuff
honestly, I actually kind of liked that one. I kind of liked it like that.
You know, just you knew that you had to be in tip-top shape. But, you know, last year I did three powerlifting meets, and they were kind of all bunched together, but basically, you did one good, solid training cycle, and then you just rode the wave to the next thing. You didn't have to start from scratch. It wasn't like I went and did a meet and all my strength magically disappeared. You know what I mean? I had to ramp down a little bit and then fire right back up. So I jumped right back into the, you know, the prep cycle right before the meet, and I was able to do another meet and that kind of thing. You know, I ended up squatting the 1,000 pounds or whatever, what I had always been chasing, that kind of goal. You know, those three meets were within 3 months. You know, so it's possible, but, you know, it takes that, you know, you've got to be determined. You've got to have the time to train. Obviously, your schedule has to fit, and the opportunity has to be there. So I think we're good this year, though, with the America's Strongest Man being open to all comers, you know, as far as all American ASC athletes. And the same thing being said about the Olympia, again, open to all comers, and we kind of went through that with the Olympia Committee to make sure they were cool with that, and they kind of liked that idea. MHP, the title sponsor, was sort of happy about that, because at least it gives their guys, if you will, an opportunity to compete. Again,
right.
I didn't schedule the Olympia. I certainly haven't scheduled the World's Strongest Man. Nobody knows when the schedule is, you know. But I'll bet you $5, Ryan, that the World's Strongest Man happens right around the same time the Olympia is going on. whether it dovetails into or out of it, you know what I mean?
It'll be around either the Olympia or America's Strongest Man, you know, one or the other. But
I don't think it'll be around America's Strongest Man, because I don't think if they haven't announced this location yet, and it's almost May, I don't think they're going to be prepared to go at the very beginning of August. You know what I mean? That's one of those things that people don't realize. We were able to announce contest places almost a year in advance. You know, and to get the kind of exposure that you want to attract a fan base, a following. I mean, you were at Hot Springs last year. Hot Springs is going to be amazing this year. We've talked to those folks on the phone. You remember Chrissy and Steve. I mean, already three different times about different ideas that they have to make it bigger and better. I mean, they're putting you guys up in hotels this year. They're working on dinners. They're going to have autograph signings. Me and Brad Dunn are going to be doing some musical stuff on the local country station. It's going to be a trip. I mean, I'm talking to their production guy about lighting and intros and you know, smoke and all kinds of stuff. I mean, so we really have the potential. And the fan base, remember the fans last year, they've had people calling all year long saying, is Strongman coming back?
It was awesome.
We could fill that arena this year, you know, potentially. And, you know, two-day show, it'll be a great time. So, but those things take a long time to prepare. I mean, you can't come out and just say, okay, I've got a show coming up, and you got like 2 weeks to get ready for it. You know, it doesn't even matter if it led right to World's Strongest Man. It takes a lot of preparation. It takes a lot of time. And you know, athletes need that time and preparation too. Guys have to get off work. They have to have, you know, you're going to want to have, you know, before a big show, a good 8 to 10 weeks under your belt training cycle where you've known the events, you know what I mean? So you could prepare for those particular things so you could show up and give your best effort.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of that, have you and Dion decided what events are going to be on America's Strongest Man? Or you got any sneak peeks you can throw our way for myself and our audience?
We have decided. I can tell you that there'll be some things that are new to ASC, but not new as far as strongman events. There's going to be obviously some classics. There's going to be some TV friendly type stuff. There will be. I can tell you this one thing. I can give you a little bit of tease. There will be one event, and we're working on whether it's going to have a specific prize of its own. We're not. It's kind of a sponsorship thing. So, you know, those negotiations happen and everything looks good, but then it doesn't happen at the last minute. But we're working on whether or not it will have one event will have a prize of its own, like an event, I think. But there will be the potential for a real world record to be set, because the person that is like the keeper of the world records will be involved. So there will be one event where it doesn't mean that somebody's going to set the world record. They'll have to set the world record, but a real world record will be set, like a kind of a strongman icon type record. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And the Olympia events have been picked too. Some of the stuff that you guys are familiar with, but there'll be some new stuff at the Olympia too. I really can't give much more information than that. But I can say that the new strongman equipment, the Big Dog Strong stuff, really has been working out great. I mean, you know, the one thing I would say about Johnny and his partner, the fellow that actually, the concept stuff we give to Johnny, this is the kind of piece of equipment we're looking for, and Johnny has, you know, some ideas of his own. Johnny Wasico, if anybody doesn't know him, he's out of New Jersey, I believe. Anyway, his partner, is a gentleman that is in the industry, you know, metallurging or whatever they call it. And I mean, the stuff he comes up with is absolutely incredible. It's heavy duty, and they're always changing it. So we'll get a piece of equipment, and they'll want to, and we'll work on it. We'll test it out. It's a fine piece of equipment, and they'll make some adjustments to it. A lot of times, like with our frames, those 800-pound frames, he took them all back, and he's making us new ones, and he's selling the old ones. The old ones are wonderful, perfectly fine, but he wants something a little bit better for that TV quality, for that look, you know, for the enjoyment of the spectators, as well as it being functional. So we really have been fortunate to work. We've worked with some good equipment makers in the past, and there's some people out there that make some fine stuff. Aaron West makes some really good equipment. He's got a wheelbarrow piece of equipment that he has that we did at the Lightweight Pros, the America's Strongest Man 105s last year, that I like a lot. I think a lot of that piece of equipment. He makes some dumbbells. He made the dumbbells, some of the dumbbells for the amateur nationals this year, some of the smaller ones. I think Scott Tully's got some equipment that he's involved in. There's some other guys, Steve Slater, obviously, with the stones and the logs. I mean, some of that stuff's amazing. But that kind of attention to detail and sort of changing things as you go to make it better all the time, you know, the kind of the custom-made logs where the weights can be loaded on the inside and you got that diamond plating. I mean, those things are just, they're absolutely amazing.
You know? Right.
So we've been fortunate. So a lot of the equipment will be stuff that you're familiar with. I think you've used a good portion of that. We had it last year at the Olympia, but some of the stuff is going to be new. The car deadlift frame, for instance, it's a car deadlift frame. They look just like our old ones, but they're heavier gauge steel. So the frame in and of itself is heavier. So the pull, obviously, then is heavier because you just have more frame weight in your hand. So the car doesn't even have to be as massive of a car to feel quite as heavy. And I will say, we haven't had a chance to talk about it yet, but as far as the equipment goes, none of it got blown away. I don't know if everybody knows, if they watched on TV, but the American Strongman Corporation home office is in Bridgeton, Missouri, and Bridgeton, Missouri was ravaged with tornadoes this past weekend. The airport, which I've flown in and out of many times to go up to visit with Dion and Willie, and Dion and Willie's house got damaged. The neighborhoods behind them was a F4 category devastation. I guess F5 is the highest. Neighborhoods behind them are completely wiped out, and their house was not wiped out, and it went all around their house and blew 200-mile-an-hour winds blew and didn't mess up any of the storage area where we keep all the strongman equipment. It didn't even damage the truck. ASC could have been literally blown away in the storm. I know that would have made some people in Las Vegas happy, but it didn't happen. Probably because the big dog strong equipment is so heavy, I guess. I don't know. But, we dodged the proverbial bullet on that one. And Dion and the family, Willie and all the kids and the dog, even everybody's safe and sound and unharmed. So if anybody's wondering why they didn't get that email back from Dion, it's probably because they have no power, no gas, no water.
Yeah, I saw the pictures on her Facebook, and it's like her neighbors. It's like the old pictures you see, like in the little gag postcards or whatever. It's like the neighbor's house is totally gone, and then Dion's house, you know, has a little damage, you know, from, I think she said a tree fell on it, but otherwise the house is intact. It's just damaged, you know. Whereas like these other houses are literally just, whew, just gone with the wind, literally.
Yeah, seriously, like blown, like in their swimming pool. The neighbor's house roof is in Dion's, in their swimming pool. Like, I mean, flat in this neighborhood. Yeah, I mean, they said they were hunkered down in the basement. Sounded like a freight train going through, you know?
Yeah, well, and the pictures of their yard, it looks like a forest after, like, one of those huge tree-cutting machines just went through the whole forest and everything's just laying on its side. It's crazy.
Mm. Yeah, when you would visit their house, you couldn't see their house from the road, and now it's almost like their neighborhood was off of a frontage road off of a highway, and you couldn't see from the road, like at the top of their driveway, you couldn't see their house. Now she tells me that from the highway way off on the other side, you can see their whole house, their whole yard, because all the trees just got uprooted, like you just said.
Mm. Crazy. So,
yeah, but we will hopefully when we, we're working on, she's actually working on the, she is working on the entry form for America's Now, for America's Strongest Man Now, and when we do announce those events, I like to call you guys and do it on the radio, and then Brian, obviously with Hildebrand, can follow up with an article. We have something ready to queue up for him to go with an article online, so we kind of give it to RX Muscle first, kind of one of the things we talked about, some with some exclusive content and some breaking news stories.
Yeah. Hey, we're ready right now, man. If you know him, tell us.
Well, you know, nah, I can't do it. It's not quite yet. I don't want you having like a big head start. You know, I want you to.
It wouldn't be me. It'd be me and all the smart people listening to our show.
That's right. So I guess it would. I guess it would be. It would be fair, right?
I know that. I know that at least three or four pros that listen to our show every week. So. We would have an advantage, and all the guys that are just like, too busy or too cool to listen.
Well,
hey,
I'll tell you what. We will make the announcement on your show when I am allowed to spill the beans. Dion or I will get on and tell exactly. Not a, you know, we don't have to do a whole segment, but just make the announcement of what the events will be. So
excellent.
You'll be able to have exclusive. I can't tell you this, Dion. Interestingly. You know, and again, in that effort, that commitment of ASC to kind of, you know, it's a business. Doesn't mean you make money out of it, but it is a business. But to try to move things further, she's going to be speaking at a convention in Jamaica. Oh, wait a minute. How come I'm not speaking at that one? Dude, I'm getting hosed. I'm telling you, no. She's speaking at a sports business convention, and there will be some heavy hitters there as far as potential sponsors and that kind of thing. She was invited to speak and do a 15-minute segment. Actually, I put together a PowerPoint presentation for her, you know, talking about sponsorship and that kind of thing and getting involved with ASC and, you know, sort of, you know, maximizing your corporate sponsor dollars with smaller companies. You know, I mean, NFL, if you spend $250,000, it's just a drop in the bucket to them, you know.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, conversely, you get more coverage, I guess, if you will, because you really just can't afford the TV coverage with NFL, but, you know, the kind of coverage that a smaller business can get, it doesn't have that big capital they can get with some of the smaller businesses. It's kind of the idea that we're wanting to bring out, but she was invited, and you know, we've been doing some things like that, some business stuff, some community type outreach in the business world, I should say, for a couple of years now, trying to broaden our base of appeal in that world to then infuse capital into the sport. You know, the economy's been kind of rough, and I guess we got to those ideas a little bit later. But, you know, it talks about just moving away from that fitness industry sort of, I guess, pigeonhole. I mean, certainly the fitness dollars, we'd be happy to share in them. But, you know, it is a physique thing. It is physique driven. And I think, Nathan, honestly, with you coming on board, we even talk about this, you know, sort of being like the official dietary, you know, nutritional guru for ASC. You know, I think if we can get some of these fat strongmen, you know, skinnied up a little bit, maybe some of those nutritional dollars would start rolling in.
You know, the sport definitely is the most ripe when it comes to, I mean, I never understood that. I mean, bodybuilding, obviously that's where the big dollars are as far as with the fitness and the advertising and the companies. But it's interesting because what guy doesn't want to be stronger? What guy doesn't want to be you know, basically bigger, and a lot of guys have no interest at all in looking like an Abercrombie and Fitch model, you know, but a lot of guys do have a lot of interest in just being a bigger, stronger guy. Like you said, within reason, so the overweight is overweight. It doesn't matter if you're a strong, overweight guy. Overweight is overweight. Same goes with the NFL. You know, you can have a 6'8" lineman, you know, but if he's 380 pounds, he's still overweight. You know, he could refine his approach, so to speak. So it's amazing to me that there's such a broad market out there of, you know, kind of everyday hardworking people, you know, who I think Strongman definitely appeals to, who that's a whole area that the fitness world kind of ignores. Everything's very metrosexual, and nothing could be less metrosexual than strongman or powerlifting.
Well, I don't know. Have you seen Bracewell lately?
Well, no, that's true. But see, he's kind of the exception. We're going to start referring to him as the enigma of NAS ASC.
Yeah, you know what? I probably need to actually start following the diet that Nathan's given me, or the several of them. But because I swear every time, you know, I think I look okay in the mirror. I mean, I'm not skinny by any means. But I think, you know, I carry my weight well. Every time I see a photograph, when I see myself in two dimensions, I just cringe, and especially because I've never been photogenic, even when I was, you know, 230, and so now I'm 290. It's kind of like Derek told us on his show one time, when you're big, like we are, you don't look good unless you are literally lean. You know, if you're 300, but you don't have a belly, but you're still not lean, you look fat in pictures. It's just that simple. You know, and so every time I see a picture, like from this weekend, I'm just like, fuck, I got to get back on my diet so I can lose some water weight or whatever's going on here.
I am pleasantly surprised that, and you know, the diet has been kind of so easy, I guess, for me to follow. And I will say, too, about the, you know, not back to the infomercial, but when you did ask me for information, I did give you some personal health information too. Right. You know, I have high cholesterol in my family. My mom has high cholesterol. Her sister, my aunt, has high cholesterol. And my mom is able to take the statin drugs, the drugs that lower the cholesterol. My aunt cannot take them because she gets the muscle cramps. And I found out quite by accident, I think it was last year, Ryan, you and I even talked about that. I was getting ready for a meet, and, you know, I had switched to cholesterol medication, and I was on a down cycle week, and I had terrible leg cramps. Crestor, I think I went on. And they took me off the medication, and the leg cramps went away. So I can't take the statin drugs, too. So, you know, the 3 gallons of milk, I'm sure, was not helping my triglycerides or my cholesterol. And so the diet that we talked about, I think, sort of has that edge as well. It's kind of... I'd be interested to see, and I've got these actually numbers for you, Nathan, where right before I started the diet, I went to the doctor and got all those numbers taken, so I'd be interested to see 3 months later what those blood panels look like.
Yes.
Yeah, because the belly fat, I guess, for me, you know, being 42, you kind of get that little belly paunch thing going, and you know, and you could be as hard as nails all around it, but once that thing starts setting in and you start getting to a certain age, it's like it doesn't matter. It just stays there, or it's finally the last tiny little thing to go. But, I mean, I'm actually slimming down, you know, that fat back that you get, right? You know what I'm talking about, that little bit, that little muffin top that hangs over the back of your jeans and that kind of stuff. You know, when you're heavy, your shoulders are big and muscular and your arms are muscular. You know, but if you're not a lean, lean guy, you're going to have that little bit of extra around the midsection. That stuff's actually starting to go away. And like I say, I've not really increased my cardio at all.
Absolutely. So that's cool. Yeah, cardio ends up being a catch-22 when it comes to weight loss. That kind of becomes an ugly paradox, you know, because your weight loss success, so to speak, becomes completely reliant in some ways to a certain programmed amount of activity. You know, and in human everyday adult life, I just typically don't find that that's very feasible for anyone. At some point, something happens. Change of job, change of living situation, new girlfriend, new wife, children, what have you. You know, you definitely need to, in my opinion, go about it with a nutritional aspect, because that's one thing that you can control. It's not always convenient to prepare your food ahead of time. You know, it's not always convenient to eat as many times a day as I have some people eat, but it's still a hell of a lot easier than trying to do an hour, you know, plus a cardio, you know, 4, 5, 6 days a week.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I'll tell you what too, when you talk about, being cutting edge and that kind of thing, and you know, what people read, And I think I texted this to you the other day. I just got the new Muscle and Fitness with Brock Lesnar on the cover. And inside, it talks about his diet deal. And I was having a deja vu reading it because, you know, or whatever, a month and a half ago, you sent me that same, you know, not the same diet that he's on. I mean, I don't know what kind of diet, but those principles, cutting out right. the dairy, the meals that have meat and starch and green vegetables, aiding in digestion. I mean, my digestive system has changed as far as, now we're going to start talking about poop and stuff on your program. as far as how I'm excreting waste, I mean, it's completely different. It's got to be healthier. You know what I mean? It's just, it really has changed in like, you know, to me, it feels more normal.
Well, good. And well, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's designed to be a very natural thing as far as, again, opinion coming from me. But as far as I think how we are kind of programmed, so to speak, you know, from our origins. But somebody asked me a question on the Q&A that I do regarding Strongman at the NAS message board regarding the basic principles as far as going about things. And I was basically just like, well, I mean, when it comes to calories, you can get away with a lot less if it's the right kind of calories. People just really don't mistake it. It's not like I have people eat nothing at all. That's not it at all. It's just you don't need 10,000 calories. You know, you can get away with, you know, 6,000 calories if you're a 10,000 calorie guy, if they're the right calories. You know, usable calories serve a function. Useless calories, you know, the buffets, the Big Macs, the fries and all that. Yeah, they're calories. Yeah, they'll put weight on you. It's the wrong kind of weight. Ultimately, it will serve you no purpose other than at some point in your life, you will have to get it off. But, you know, usable calories, guys basically could get away with eating a heck of a lot less than they do. You know, you have to have the right kind of food to do that. You know, at that point, you're talking about absorption ratios, you know, and that's kind of the key as far as what the entire thing is based around.
Well, I'm not eating anything. I mean, to me, in my mind, when I kind of sit back outside and analyze it, I'm not eating anything special. I'm just eating real food, probably for the first time in my life, you know. I mean, yeah, I have the protein shakes. I have two that are on the list. But everything else is actually real food, not like some processed blend of real food. You know, for a snack, I'm having an apple. I mean, imagine that. A piece of fruit? What the hell is that? You know, but it's just all real food. Interestingly, today, too, you're talking about being on the cutting edge. I was reading an article in, I think it was Women's Health. But it was talking about some studies that they've done with rice. And I have rice on my meal plan. And it was saying that people that eat rice are less likely to certain diseases, autoimmune stuff, as well as they are not as heavy. And they don't have as high of a body fat percentage. And it kind of went into all the properties of rice that make that so. I mean, and again, it's just food. It's not processed in any way, which I guess is kind of what I'm finding really cool about the whole thing.
Well, it's funny, the rice, that's always one of the first things somebody hits back, especially if it's a weight loss program or they just mentioned that they want to get leaner while they're getting, you know, a size added, kind of like you're doing right now. It's definitely, people are shocked when they see white rice or whatever, and they think I don't pay attention, or where's the brown rice, or where's the whatever. It's like, you know, you don't always need to believe everything that you read. There's definitely a million ways to go about anything, basically. But when it comes to your carbohydrate choices, the one thing that I ask people, like anytime they have a question that they want to ask me, I always welcome it. And it's funny because my answers are never, you know, I'm always very open with my answers. I think I go into too much detail, especially when somebody in an email and things like that. But basically, when it comes down to things, sometimes through marketing, things like that in our society, things get way overly complicated and way overly dramatized. And like you mentioned, the foods that you're eating, they're not magical. They're not like some secret recipe that I concoct and then email to you, and then you brew it up in a big old witch's pot or something like that. But they are kind of very against what we've been marketed, So to speak, you know, like with the white rice being a perfect example, you know, complex carbohydrates, everybody touts complex carbohydrates, you know, to stabilize blood sugar and things like that. And you know what, on paper, all that is completely accurate. However, you can improve upon that by taking something like a white rice, which is certainly, you know, a little bit different than a brown rice, so to speak. But you can improve upon that. You know, the quicker your body burns through a carbohydrate and uses it, if it's in the right ratio, the quicker your body is now tapping body fat for fuel, you know, to keep you going. The longer your body has a carbohydrate lingering, breaking down in your system, the longer you're telling your body, I have no need to burn body fat. You know, I got plenty here, you know, as far as a fuel source. I'm just going to keep on burning this oatmeal for another hour and a half or whatever, and I'll get back with you. You know, and again, a lot of that comes down to marketing and people being, I guess, somewhat afraid or timid to try new things or experiment against what they've kind of been force-fed. But really, at the end, there's no magical ingredient, you know, and it's just the right combination of things for people, you know, kind of like you mentioned with the Brock article and stuff like that. There's nothing revolutionary that he's doing there, but it's a very just sensible back to basics approach.
Well, the one thing too that was interesting, because and I just, as you said that, I just thought of it, that I was reading about the milk, was they talked about taking away the milk so that he would not have injuries during the training cycle. But they didn't phrase it like that. It had to do with inflammation.
Yes.
And I just think that, you know, it was just saying that he grew up on a dairy farm, so he spent his whole life with a certain amount of belly inflammation, mm-hmm. you know, and just never knew it. You know, so yes. I just kind of thought it was very interesting, you know, the stuff. And I haven't asked specifically a lot of questions. I did have one question that I think I posted to kind of get you rolling, and I'm hoping that people are bugging you now and picking your brain, you know, with the artificial sweeteners. You know, I've just stayed away from them and kind of going, you know, I'm getting used to the black coffee. I could have had cream and sugar yesterday, and I did have one Starbucks yesterday, though. I just had to do that. But the other cup of coffee I had was just black. It was just normal, what my normal fare would be, because I guess I was used to it, you know? So
right.
That's pretty cool.
Well, absolutely. And one more thing I want to touch on, I guess it's off topic from the diet thing. I know that we're kind of getting long here with the show, and I kind of start to wrap things up. But I know that I've had a few emails lately, too, regarding the amateurs curious to try to, I guess they're trying to guess, if you will, educated guess, whether or not there might be another Platinum Plus opportunity prior to Nationals, or if the next pro card opportunity will indeed be Nationals.
This year, something that the past couple of years, Ryan was fortunate enough to be part of that system. We had these shows at the Europa. And it just seemed like a great opportunity to have Nationals. And then as the, to have the Platinum Pluses. And as the Europa numbers of shows grew, we were able to have more Platinum Pluses. Well, last year, I think we turned out 5 pros, if I'm not mistaken, where in years past, there had only been 4. When there were 3 Platinum Pluses, now we're calling them Pro-Ams, we're just kind of changing the name a little bit, then in Nationals, so you're getting 4 guys. 4.
Right.
And last year, we had the 3, the Nationals, and the Amateur World Arnold Amateur Championship, the Amateur Strongman World Championship, which, by the way, Michael Burke, who came out of nowhere from Colorado, he must have come down out of the hills or something, and he second at Mass Nationals this year. He did win his pro card, his ASC pro card at the Arnold, certainly without the ballyhoo of Mike Jenkins, but certainly he's eligible now to compete as an ASC Pro. And I got to tell you who I was totally amazed by was Jacob Bodie, lightweight pro, finished 4th. Mm-hmm. Paulie Valancourt from Canada, he made it to the stage again, second year in a row that a lightweight made it. He bettered his position. I think he finished 10th last time, Ryan, if you remember, and then he might have moved into the spot.
Yeah.
But Jacob Bodie was like, I mean, Jacob's 5'9". And Burke is like, I don't know, like 6, you know, 30. You know, he's this freaking, you know, I don't know, he's like 6'8 or something. But, you know, so Bodie was ahead of him going into the stones, but Bodie just couldn't put that 420 stone away, and Burke just kind of handled it, you know, just had that height advantage going. But, man, that lightweight, Jacob Bodie, he was something. But the answer is no. Show up in Nashville, Tunica, Mississippi. It's right outside of Memphis. Right now, right this moment, we have one thing in the works, but again, time is short. We don't like to just cram these things in. We like to have plenty of advance notice. But we have had a group call us. And the organizers are trying to get their money together. And the thing is this, I'll be quite honest with you. We wanted to do the pro-ams because we wanted to give the pros a little bit more, and it's a great way for the up-and-comers, the guys that are going to win their pro card, to get out there and mix it up with the pros.
No,
get a real sense of where they are, and then they win that pro card. And it really, you know, there's some esprit de corps. It really does make a difference when you see pro guys helping out amateur guys, and I do see that a lot. But that being said, we don't want to take a step backward. Sure, we could throw some backyard parking lot type event and have no money and stuff, but we're just not feeling that. And taking some steps backward isn't just where our head is. So, you know, there were five last year. There'll probably be three pros coming out of this year, and we're comfortable with that. You know, and when the shows are there and the money's there and we can, you know, we can entertain the folks because, as I've said, I believe this to be strength entertainment. Yes, it is a sport. Yes, these gentlemen are athletes. They work their asses off. It's all about fair play. There's no favorites. You know, I love Ryan today. On the playing field, I don't know you. You know what I mean? Maybe I'll play your favorite song if I ever get a chance, but, you know, you don't get any breaks. You get judged as strictly and as harshly as Derek Poundstone or Mike Jenkins or the newest pro, Vincent Urbank, would. Everybody is equal on that field of play. We want to make sure that we can provide a quality show and, you know, some ad hoc show with weird scoring and, you know, weights that were picked too heavy and we have to, you know, drop the weights and that kind of thing. You know, that's not us. That's for the junior promoters out there, the wannabe ASC folks. We want to provide those quality entertainment. We want to provide those quality shows where the folks that win really are going to come out and make some noise. You know, I think that the class of Ryan's class of athletes, those younger kids that have earned those pro cards, I mean, they're making a difference. I mean, look at Jenkins jumping right in there. You know, I look to see Ryan, Andrew Palmer, Mike Caruso finishing, you know, high in the mix, you know, as far as in the America's Strongest Man, as far as, the Olympia, you know, and that's the kind of kids that we want to give the opportunities to. So, you know, we did not have the opportunity to put that kind of money together, that $10,000 purse. So we just sat back and said, you know, if it's not going to happen this year, it'll happen next year. And we've already got things in the work for next year. And, that's kind of the decision that we made.
We definitely thank you for having you come on. And we're looking forward to having you come back on and drop those exclusives to us as far as the events and things like that. And by the way, just so you know, the next time Ryan competes, his favorite song, Purple Rain by Prince.
Oh, wow, I got that one. I think I've even got, like, an extended remix of that for him.
Excellent. The dancier,
like,
the better.
Ice Baby.
Well, thanks for coming on, Mike.
Thanks again for coming on, Mike. We really appreciate it. And, you know, we'll get you on that whenever y'all are ready to give us those events for America's Strongest Man.
All right, yeah. Well, we appreciate the time. People... hit the websites, www.americanstrongman.com, for all the information, what's coming up. Athletes, don't forget to pay your membership dues. You can get out to America's Strongest Man. Make sure you get to Olympia this year. It's open to all the competitors. No excuses. I'm walking my fish. My contract says no. Everybody's invited. As long as they are an ASC athlete, they've paid their dues, past or present. Come on in, get back in the fold, get out there and mix it up with the young kids. I even hear Carl Gillingham's going to be coming to one of these shows. And, he still competes in Canada and he still does some stuff internationally, but he wants to get back and, you know, get in the ring in America and take care of that. And if there's any rehab questions, I'm doing some Q&A right there on RX Muscle, trying to help some folks out. You know, try to give them some sound information, you know, without making too many medical diagnoses. But happy to do it, kind of talk to the folks out in there in RX Muscle Land. And I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, man. We appreciate it again, Mike, and you have a great night.
Take care.
Well, it's always good to have Mike on. You know, as the listeners can probably tell, we can kind of talk to Mike all day because, you know, he's just like one of those guys. Every time I talk to him on the phone or I guess even in the interviews, it reminds me of when we're hanging out after a show and we're just sitting there drinking beer and smoking cigars. So I kind of get that nostalgic feeling, I guess you'd say, and we just kind of keep rambling. But, you know, hopefully there's a lot of good information out there from this interview for people, whether it be, you know, on your diets, because you got a lot of press this week, which is great, or on just ASD events and whatnot.
Well, definitely, and it'll be nice when we have him back on, and you get that half nanosecond delay as far as what the big events will be for the Olympia and ASM. That way, you can jump right into the gym as soon as we stop taping.
Well, that's right. That 4-day advantage is what's going to make me win.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I think there's some great stuff in there. I think we definitely ran a little long tonight, but we got it all in, got everything in that we wanted. And, you know, we'll have him back on in probably a month or so to talk about the events. You know, hopefully everybody found it all good. And, you know, I say it's time to move on next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, this is Ryan Bracewell and Nathan Payton on RX Power Hour with RXMuscle.com. See you next week.
You've been listening to the RX Power Hour exclusively on RXMuscle.com. For more great shows, visit RXMuscle.com.